The cost is one thing and the suffering of women is another thing. We all want to die young, as late as possible. There is no extra risk on that. You have another 40, 50 years in front of you. So half of your life almost, you will be suffering. Menopause, your hormones can fluctuate from one month to the other. One month you can be like a 30-year-old and the next one like a 60-year-old.
10 years of being myself again.
A little bit more thoughtful and better, looking into what is the actual needs there.
Welcome to تحت الهواء مع سبا عودي. With me today is Dr. Maria Alonso. For 18 years, Dr. Maria has been working in Dubai, practicing and promoting preventive medicine and holistic care with a focus on fertility, lifestyle, medicine and women's health. She is the co-founder of Maison Santé, a center for wellness and regeneration that blends Western and Eastern medicine. Maria, thank you so much for coming in to see me today.
Thank you for the invitation.
I really just wanted us to have a conversation on a topic that I know is very dear to your heart and very dear to my heart. And I didn't even know much about it until I hit it. And it's not the wall that I had written about recently, but it's actually menopause. We teach our daughters about periods, we teach our sons about periods. Nobody mentions menopause. I knew nothing about menopause until I started to not recognize myself anymore, started to feel completely I didn't know what my body was doing, and I had no answers. And to be honest, I almost practically lost the will to live. And that's when I found you, and we had a conversation about hormone replacement therapy. Mm-hmm. Hormone replacement therapy has always had a bad name in my life, and it was the no thing to go to. So we'll get to that. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about menopause. It's important because it affects so many women, and it affects economies because these women are having to stay out of work, or it's affecting their productivity at work.
Yeah.
And so it has a huge cost to the economy.
Well, the cost is one thing and the suffering of women is another thing. So first of all, menopause is not a popular topic. And it has a little bit, I would say, almost a shame to it, and some might be even cultural. So this idea, when you hit menopause, first of all, you are old, and in some cultures, losing fertility is also a big thing. So that's why I think it's not talked a lot about, and women just are shy even with their friends to talk about it. And
yes.
Then, even with gynecologists, it's like, it's normal, it's part of life, you hit menopause, and that's what you have to go through. So this is a bit the attitude going on.
But importantly, a lot of people think menopause is hot flashes, and that's it.
Yeah, well, menopause is
that
not...
That does not make you want to lose the will to live.
No, there's so many symptoms, related to menopause, and women end up in psychiatry, with psychologists, with cardiologists, palpitations. Palpitations and dizziness are symptoms of menopause. But if you don't know where to put them, you end up in the ER and maybe even with a panic attack and anxiety.
Absolutely.
So,
Been there.
Yeah. Oh, digestive symptoms, bloating, constipation, abdominal pain and discomfort, symptoms of menopause as well. And yes, the typical hot flashes, but skin issues, allergies, increase of allergies.
Yes.
Blood pressure,
the
cholesterol,
mind fog, the brain fog, Who am I? Where am I? How do I can't remember this?
Yes.
How do I add this up?
Memory, focus, concentration. Yeah, you well said. Brain fog. Yeah,
and also, and I will say this from my own experience as well: aches and pains.
Yes,
undefined.
Yeah,
everywhere in the body, and they move. And I have searched and went to so many doctors and done all sorts of tests, nuclear, I don't know what, and this.
And
they would tell me, finally, someone said, we know, fibromyalgia, which is basically just, correct me if I'm wrong, a general term.
Yeah, when you don't find anything, then you call it fibromyalgia. No, it's the inflammation due to the drop in the estrogen levels. So typical symptoms of that, joint pains and aches and even stiffness in the morning. And women end up with a rheumatologist. Then they say, oh no, sorry, you couldn't find anything, you're okay.
So when I started to feel different things and I couldn't, I wasn't connecting the doctors because like you said, I was going to all the doctors and I went to the cardiologist and he gave me Concor and I went to the rheumatologist and they gave me curcumin. So different things and I've tried everything. But the one thing that finally when I started to notice all these different ailments or complaints, I started to think, you know, why are all the older women in my, when I was a young girl, my mother and aunts and their mothers all had the same symptoms or all had maybe that big belly or had the symptoms of their joints hurting. And I thought it must be connected. And it was just by coincidence, I went to London and I was sitting with my daughter and she tells me, Mom, you should watch, I was telling her about how I was feeling anxious and I have just been to the psychiatrist and they gave me some antidepressants. And my daughter said, you should watch this documentary that just came out on menopause. And it was like a light bulb came on in the room. And so, yes, all these women for all this time didn't know that all their symptoms were go under the one umbrella.
But even if they know and they go to some, let's say, classic gynecologist, they will be told, yeah, this is menopause. Nothing we can do about it. And they will be even told it's not good. Don't even think about hormone replacement because this is dangerous. It will increase your risk of breast cancer. You cannot do it. Even if a woman is well educated and goes there seeking for help, sometimes they find the opposite. They find them discouraged of doing something about it.
So it's basically dismissed.
Yes.
It's not a disease, so we dismiss it?
Yeah. It's normal. It's normal. That's age.
Okay. So what is it then?
Well, yes, it is age, but it's not normal. And you have to consider, let's say you hit menopause at 50. Before your life expectancy was a bit more than 50. So you would suffer a few years and then you would die naturally. Now you hit 50. You have another 40, 50 years in front of you. So half of your life almost, you will be suffering. And suffering, maybe not only the hot flashes, they will go away eventually. But your risk of osteoporosis, so you fall down, you will break your hip. And you know what that means. Your risk for cardiovascular diseases will increase. Your pain levels will affect your mobility, your quality of life. Your brain fog will make it difficult to work. So there's so many things connected to that and really health issues. So it's not about just saying it's natural. No, it's natural that or normal that your ovaries produce less hormones. But there is medicine. We can help. You have diabetes. Your pancreas doesn't produce insulin. What do? We give you insulin.
It's true, yes.
Your ovaries doesn't produce the hormones. We give you that little bit that you need to continue a healthy and, you know, nice
life. So the debate about those hormones was that, and I know this from when I was a child, and my mother and her friends would or would not take hormone replacement tablets. So the debate was because of a study that was out. And so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there's this old studies done on a woman that would take the pills, hormone replacement pills that were made from horse pee, so to say. And they were like very high dose. And of course, then with that pills, the incidence of blood clotting and cancer increased. But now we know, even looking back at that studies and analyzing that deeper, first of all, age just increases your risk of cancer, any cancer, not only breast cancer. So age is your biggest risk. If you do hormone replacement well done and you don't take the pills with this high crazy dose of hormones, and you use especially the estrogen transdermal, then there is no extra risk on that. And the doses used are really minimum. See, nobody will question anyone going to the gynecologist or telling a young girl, take an anticonceptive pill.
Yeah, anticonceptive pill.
It's a pill with a crazy high dose of hormones.
True, yes.
And that increases the risk of clotting, liver diseases, and increases your risk of breast cancer later on as well. And nobody discusses that or questions that. When a woman in their 50s has problems, like really health problems, and wants a bit of hormone to just, you know, balance it and to function normal and reduce risk of other disease, then it becomes a big topic.
So this tiny small dose of estrogen that you're applying on the skin, is enough actually to restore all these functions in the body?
Yes, and it doesn't go through your liver, so no clotting problems. And that tiny amount, and we measure that. There's blood tests, there's saliva tests available, so we can measure that we don't give too much. Mm. So we just give the right amount to have your levels on a low normal, like the levels you would have had maybe 5-10 years before menopause. Not even the levels you had when you were 20. Mm. Nobody's even talking about that. And first and foremost, nobody's talking about your levels, like let's say that you can have with the anticonceptive pill or anything. So it's low normal levels of what you need to function ideally.
Now, age-wise or cycle phase-wise, if you like, yes, it does help if you have, if like me, you have started to these symptoms and you're feeling the body change, you start with this therapy and that could work. But it can also work, it should you have it even before you hit menopause or perimenopause?
Yeah, well, let's call it perimenopause. So before you hit menopause, because menopause technically means 12 months, no period. Okay. So anything not yet there is perimenopause. So in perimenopause, your hormones can fluctuate from 1 month to the other. 1 month, you can be like a 30-year-old and the next one like a 60-year-old.
Yes.
So there's a lot of fluctuation and symptoms. So actually, the best is to start at that time.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In order not to let it get so worse, like that you cannot function and you are at the verge of collapsing.
Okay. And how late can you start HRT? Can a woman in her 70s or 80s benefit?
In theory, yes. But of course, for your risk of osteoporosis, too late. Because, you know, you have missed all that window. Ideally, and that's what science says at the moment, within the first years, 10 years of menopause, you should start it. Otherwise, the benefits are very little. Because at that, if you start with 70, you don't have hot flashes anymore. Mm. You're used to less sleep. So you have adjusted to everything. And the health benefits for your heart, for your bones, it's basically too late for that. Mm.
What is bioidentical HRT?
Okay, that just means it's the same as your body would produce. People confuse it. It doesn't mean it's made out of flowers or plants or anything.
No. Okay.
Bioidentical means what you get is the same as your body would produce it. So your body will not recognize the difference there. Mm. It doesn't mean it's herbal. Mm. Just means same as your body would produce it. So it's for your body, it's natural in that way, but it's produced synthetically, which doesn't matter. Your insulin is produced synthetically. So vitamins sometimes are produced synthetically, but your body cannot tell the difference. So it will work with that.
Mm. Okay. So if you are taking this, you're taking this regularly. Mm-hmm. And what if you skip? This is a daily dose, I take it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's different perimenopause. Usually you cycle it because still periods can happen. So you take it usually like 24 days on and 4 days off. And then later you take it 6 days a week and 1 day off. Ideally, you have to take it until the end of your life because your body is not producing the hormones. So you're giving it. Mm. If you skip it, if you skip it a few days, maybe nothing happens. If you skip a few days around menopause begin and perimenopause, you might get all the hot flashes and all the symptoms back.
So, and also I have this question. I have a million questions, Maria,
excuse me.
But because this is so important, not for everybody. This is really important for women to know about.
Because and for men.
And
because
for men.
Men have the woman by their side. And then they might be thinking, what is wrong? What is wrong? And they don't understand.
Yeah.
And that leads also to relationships.
She's a very lucky woman who has a man who notices what is wrong, by the way.
Yes.
A lot of, because I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because a lot of men will dismiss this, whether it is in the workplace or at home. Oh, this is nothing. But it's nothing.
They don't know. They're not educated on that.
Mm. Compounded or not compounded? The estrogen that I use, that you prescribe for me, I buy off the shelf in a prescription at a pharmacy.
Whatever is available. So sometimes the off the shelf, because of shipping issues and all that, is not available sometimes for even a month or two. And then to discontinue that for women is really a problem. So whatever is available. Actually, if it's compounded by a good pharmacy, there's no reason to say this is better or the other one is better.
And that's the key. It has to be a good pharmacy. Yes. Because compounding is a
reliable. Yes, yeah, yeah. I mean, licensed, reliable, good pharmacy that compounds that. So you make sure the quality is the same and the dosage is also properly mixed. Mm.
But it's also a suite of hormones that you need to take for the entire HRT.
Yes, depends on the blood test. Most women need to be on DHEA, progesterone, and estrogen. So this three is actually, I would say, 99.
What are the three?
DHEA is produced in your adrenal gland. It's the so-called anti-aging hormone. It's a precursor also of testosterone. This is important for your vitality, libido, muscle mass, and fat balance. Estrogen is your female hormone, and progesterone is like more the calming hormone, the one that balances estrogen so your uterus, the endometrium, the wall of the uterus doesn't grow too big, because that would also be like not good for your health and increase, maybe if that's too thick, the risk of endometrial cancer. But that's why we balance that.
And how do other cultures, I mean, if we look at other parts of the world, other cultures, whether we go to Chinese medicine, whether we go to less developed countries, societies, how do they look at menopause and deal with it?
They have a combination of herbs that can help with symptoms, but of course not to the level that bioidentical hormone replacement can. So there's herbs and flowers that can help you with the hot flashes, improve sleep, but not to a level that you would get the full benefit of that in terms of cardiovascular risk, memory, heart.
Because before I discovered you, and before I discovered that HRT was no longer that taboo that nobody should approach, I was looking at things like licorice and black cohosh.
Red clover, soya isoflavones. Yeah, there's so many things. And around, well, or during perimenopause, they can help with the symptoms. But there's a certain point that is definitely not enough.
Sure. How do you feel about the fact that there is no regulation from governments or even guidelines from human resources departments within companies to help women who are suffering with menopause symptoms?
Well, I think it should be definitely included. Same as maternity is and pregnancy. That's just one important part of keeping your workforce at an optimum. I mean, if somebody comes to work and didn't sleep well and has mood swings and hot flashes, how will that person concentrate and give the best to the company? So you want employees, let's say, well-being of employees is such a big word nowadays. And you give them spa memberships and you give them gym discount.
True.
I mean, it could be really a little bit more thoughtful and better looking into what is the actual needs there. And you look at the age profile of your company and you say, okay, but we have that many women around that age. So what they need is different.
Mm. So many women in the workplace have been dismissed, or so many complaints from women have been dismissed. Oh, she's hormonal. Oh, she's... It just ignore. She's having another one of her mood swings. Mm. And a lot of women have actually been discriminated against their age-wise and let go because they're thought to be, you know, suffering from a syndrome or a disease or something.
And I'm a strong believer that many women also on antidepressants, if that would have been diagnosed earlier properly and linked to the hormones, they would have not been taking the antidepressants, let's say, for 6 months or 1 year, because that could have been avoided as well.
Recently, in the last actually couple of weeks, proposals were put in front of the British Parliament to look at introducing new guidelines and regulation that will protect menopause women during menopause in the workplace. And they were rejected, completely rejected, thrown out. You know why? It could be construed as discrimination against men.
Okay. You know that men have a little thing like menopause as well, and it's called andropause, but then, yeah.
Tell me about that.
men have hot flashes as well, and night sweatings often when their testosterone levels drop, and they can also get moody and more aggressive. And of course, their muscle mass, their libido reduces, and then they get this belly, and then they get their upper body a bit stronger in the sense of almost breast. So that's all typical signs of andropause.
How interesting.
Definitely not as severe and not as complex.
Does it also affect the mood? You said the mood, yes, because they get more aggressive.
And a bit more or depressed. Not depressed. So much focused, but more depressed. Yeah, lower libido and more depressed.
So this is what we used to collectively call middle age.
Midlife crisis.
Midlife crisis, that's the one I was looking for. Yeah. So... and men have
a bit later usually, and also depending on their lifestyle. Yes.
Do they also have support from hormone therapy?
Of course. They can also check their hormones. If DHEA is low or testosterone is low, they can have that.
Excellent. Okay. So, what would you suggest by way of raising awareness to the public?
To be aware when your periods start becoming irregular or you feel a little bit off. Let's say brain fog, you cannot sleep properly anymore, you start feeling a bit of weight gain around this area. Whatever it is, go and get your hormones checked, see someone that specializes in that, and then you will find out if this is the issue or something else, and if the hormones are the issue, there's help and there's a fix for it.
So how soon after a woman starts on HRT does she begin to see changes? And where do the changes start? Because, I mean, for me, I don't know if it was the placebo or what, but within very short weeks.
Yeah. Actually, some women, depending on the symptoms, if it's like hot flashes and poor sleep, sometimes it's a few days, a week, 10 days. And usually I see them after 4 weeks. They come back and they say, oh, my life changed, by the way.
Yes,
yes. My life changed. I'm a new person. I feel myself again. This is like the sentence I hear all the time. I feel myself again.
Yeah, I told you. I didn't recognize who I will say this. Maybe I shouldn't, but I will. I said to myself, when I finally discovered HRT and was convinced that I said to myself, I'm going to take it. And if it means that I just have 10 years, if I die because I get cancer or whatever, as is claimed, if I die after 10 years, at least I know that I will have had 10 years of being myself again. Because I was at that point. I didn't get the hot flashes, by the way.
Not everyone.
The palpitations, the brain fog, the depression, the body aches.
Yeah.
No one should suffer.
That's also something that I hear often, that women say, listen, that slight increase in breast cancer, forget about it. I don't want to live like this. Yeah. I just don't want to live. I cannot take it. But again, it doesn't increase the risk of breast cancer more than aging anyway does. And quality of life. I mean, my favorite quote is, anyway, we all want to die young as late as possible, but dying young means fit and healthy and enjoying life. What's the point of a long life if you are you can't do what you love, you can't move around, and pain is like your daily companion. So
and we also so we need to take that, but we also need to stay aware and stay on top of it.
Yes.
So how often for checkups and what checkups?
Well, in the beginning, there's a little bit more of checkups until we find the right dose. So generally, I see a woman after a month and I check that the hormones are okay. Then maybe after 3 months again. But then as a routine thing, twice a year. I expect them twice a year to check the hormones and make sure everything is fine. And of course, have the regular gynecological checkups. That's a must as well. So,
excellent. Thank you.